today as we start out the holidays. If you guys noticed the songs that we were singing, I didn't pick them, but they were all the Thanksgiving theme. And even the picture that we had in the communion of the angels and God working inside of us and around us, and the thanksgiving that we give to Him for all that He does. It is one of those things that sometimes we really lose thought of God, I think, during Thanksgiving. We give a lot of thanks, and we thank our parents, we thank our family, we thank different people. But today, we're going to try to focus around a table. And the idea of how important it is to not forget God during that. And so in that passage you heard Lindsay read, hopefully you could pay attention enough while we were changing the stage, but it said, God rescued us from hell. He disciplines us, He's given us grace and mercy, and He has removed our guilt. This was the Psalms. David was writing this, telling us this. The song we sung right before it, which, Who You Say I Am is the title, and that whole picture of we are chosen, we are children of God, and that powerful picture that it's giving us there. So today we're going to start off, we're hoping, we've been having some sound issues in the back, but we think we've got it solved, with a video from The Chosen. So many of you know our small group has been going through it. If you haven't watched it, you probably should, but this is going to be a little clip from season 5. It's probably one of my favorite clips from the whole, I mean, we've watched 5 seasons, I guess, with our small group, and it's one of my favorites. And it is in episode 4, but it's a clip that's taken from the beginning of the show and one from the very end. So it's like meshing them two together. So you may see a little flash, but hopefully it'll be just a little bit of understanding. But, of course, you need a little setup for that, too. So they're at the Passover. So not many of us probably have celebrated the official Passover. We may know pieces of it, like the Lord's Supper that Jesus sort of switched over to be part of the Christian faith. But let me throw up a word for you in Hebrew, because I'm sure you all know Hebrew. So this is dayenu. You want to say it together? Dayenu. So we flip it over to the English version. So there it is, transliterated for you. And it basically means this that you see here. That would be enough. It is sufficient. In this picture is what you get if you go through the full Seder, or the Passover meal, with the Jewish people. Because it's a part where they're looking back on history. And part of that is, and you'll see it in the clip of them playing it, and it's basically, and even if you wanted to go find the Maccabees, they actually sing the song in Hebrew, so don't try to find them right now on your phones, but it's pretty loud and obnoxious. But because it's sort of meant to be that, but it's meant to be something meaning to you. And so if you're listening to the Hebrew version, it's a bit rough if you don't know Hebrew, which I don't. So I listened to it and I heard them say, Dayenu, and I'm like, yes, I know that word. But it's part of every single Passover. And so it is basically an expression of gratitude for God's many miracles during the Exodus from Egypt, acknowledging that even a single one of these blessings that God has given to them was enough. He didn't need to do more. It sounds a lot like the holiday that we're actually celebrating this week. It's all about this gratitude, all about this Thanksgiving. So my goal is to switch our picture of our Thanksgiving and pull in the Passover to it almost, because it's very important, I think, as part of that. And so maybe another way of saying Dayenu would be to say, thank you, God, for overdoing it. And so that's the thing that we sort of need to have in the back of our minds. So what was the word again? Dayenu. Okay, let's watch that clip.
John, you begin the Dayenu for us. Yes. Of course, Rabbi. If he had brought us out from Egypt and not carried out judgments against them,
it would have been enough.
If he had carried out judgments against them and not destroyed their idols,
it would have been enough.
If he had destroyed their idols and not killed their firstborn,
it would have been enough.
If he had killed their firstborn and had not given us their wealth,
it would have been enough.
If he had given us their wealth and not split the sea for us,
it would have been enough.
If he had split the sea for us and not taken us through it on dry land,
it would have been enough.
If he had taken us through it on dry land and not drowned our enemies in it,
it would have been enough.
If he had drowned our enemies in it and had not supplied our needs in the desert for 40 years,
it would have been enough.
If he had supplied us in the desert for 40 years and not fed us the manna,
it would have been enough.
If he had fed us the manna and had not given us the Shabbat,
it would have been enough.
If he had given us the Shabbat and not brought us before Mount Sinai,
it would have been enough.
If he had brought us before Mount Sinai and not given us the Torah,
it would have been enough.
If he had given us the Torah, but not brought us to the land of Israel,
it would have been enough.
And if he had brought us to the land of Israel and not built for us the holy temple,
it would have been enough.
Amen.
And now, a bit of herbs.
Wait. I have something to add. If he had built for us the holy temple and not sent the Messiah in our lifetimes, it would have been enough. We would have waited. But you chose us. You chose now. And it is enough.
We've prepared our own.
Their own?
If I had only had been given the joy of holding you in my arms that night in Bethlehem, on a cold ground, and not been able to see you perform sights and wonders,
it would have been enough.
If you had performed signs and wonders and not called me by name that night,
it would have been enough.
If you had healed Mary of Magdala of her demons and not healed my Ima or called my husband after your miracle,
it would have been enough. If you had called Simon Peter and not healed my friend, it would have been enough.
If you had healed Ethan and not raised my brother,
it would have been enough.
If you had raised my brother and not defended my honor when I worshipped you,
it would have been enough.
If you would have defended Mary of Bethany, but not given meaning to my life, which had been so unhappy and unfulfilled, by letting me support and participate in this miraculous family that I do believe will change the world.
Wow. Wow. those two scenes together give us a picture of the Old Testament and the New Testament really combining together. And the realization of who is sitting next to them and fulfilling God's promise that was made to the Jewish people many years before.
Is that Izzy?
That looks like Izzy to me.
Do you think she can come up here and join us?
Would you please join us?
Sometimes you set a table and there's unexpected guests that join you. And so it's one of those things that as you think about Thanksgiving, as you think about the picture in that, it was sort of interesting because you saw Jesus there. I mean, Jesus is pretty well known nowadays, the guy, but the rest of the people around the table was just a bunch of people. They weren't the 12. They were the 12 plus. There was John and James's dad, Zebedee. There was Tamar, an African person that had come in and happened to see her friend get healed. There's always room at the table. So just think about Thanksgiving. You can see our big turkey that Lindsay cooked for us. And we have cups. I was going to have people running water for everybody. You guys can pour some cups of water over there too. And it's one of those things that at Thanksgiving, there's always room for another. There's always room for giving thanks. In a world that's constantly pushing us to want more, Dayenu offers a radical shift in our perspective of how things look. In the ancient Jewish song, it reminded us each of the blessing from God, the miracles that He did, and that even if He had stopped at just one, it would have been enough. As Christians, we recognize the ultimate gift of salvation through Jesus. If God had just sent His Son to die for me and did nothing else, it would have been enough for me to praise Him and to give thanks forever. But of course, God did not stop at just that. However many times we feel that these are just stories from a long time ago, and that maybe they don't even really apply to me, or maybe they never really happened, we need to realize that God wants to work today in your life, not just in the past, not just in these stories. Jesus can still stop the storm that are going on in your life. Jesus sees who you are inside the situations that are in you and inside the situations that you are in. Just like if you remember the story from John chapter 5, the guy sitting at the well, or the Bethesda bath or the well, and Jesus calls out to him. You guys remember? Get up. Your life is not over yet. He was ready just to die. He didn't even know what Jesus wanted out of him. He's like, I can't get to the water. Jesus is like, don't worry about the water. Get up. The water is not going to heal you. He says the same to us. He calls us to take action. The man got healed. And there's one thing that's sort of interesting about him. He didn't even know Jesus' name. Anybody know Jesus' name? Anybody? Only Alec back there and Mike. I think we all know Jesus' name. Acts makes it really clear. So the kids and the teens have been going through the book of Acts since the beginning of school year. And that's one of the key things in the book of Acts, that it says, at the name of Jesus, 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 time after time after time after time, people are healed. People's lives are changed. And Paul goes on to say, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. And so it's a powerful picture of Jesus' name, and because we already know it, we have power. The same Jesus is here today. He hears your cries. He answers your prayers. It's funny that we can confidently believe that God created the world, yet still worry about what we're facing today. The same God that created something, he can't help me. That's what they call deism. You sort of put God at the creation and that's it. God is here today. We see evidence of God's faithfulness through Scripture. We still worry if He will come through for us. God is faithful today. That's what we're thankful for. That's what the Deanu was all about. And you saw in the clip, Big James is who that was. It's John's brother James. And then the women as well, they realize that God is doing something right then and right there. They changed their tradition. I mean, for thousands of years, probably, they had been doing that same rhythm. And James is like, no. I need to add one more thing. I don't want to eat the bitter herbs yet. I want us to finish this piece. So then the women had their piece as well, and they're saying, this is the Messiah. Life is now not going to be the same as it was yesterday. Things are changing. Strange thing is that they missed out on some of the pieces because Jesus had not died yet. This is still getting close. And I know some people have lots of traditions around Thanksgiving. Some people sit at the table and they say, Mark, what are you thankful for? Izzy, what are you thankful for? And today I'm sort of working to try to change that. Because it's making it bigger and letting God fall into that picture of Thanksgiving. And so we could take this Deanu and bring it into our Thanksgiving table. Today I actually brought a table, brought some folks here, brought a turkey, so that we can give you an example. And I also printed off some pages back there to give you some examples. Because it can be a way that we can proclaim our gratitude to God. And so, of course, you can always use your own statements of faith. Or you can use personal confessions as part of it. Something that God touched your life. Be like that missionary that had the two guards riding with him. That's a big thankfulness thing. Because if not, he would have got robbed, killed. And so, since we're sitting here, we're going to go ahead and do it. But I'm going to throw up one other slide real quick just so you can see there. And this is all of our part. So we're going to start off. Mark is going to read the first line. And then we're going to all say together, it would have been enough. And then Izzy will go next. And then we'll just go around the table as we read this.
If he had redeemed me with his suffering and death, but not forgiven our sins,
had forgiven our sins and had not loved us.
If he had loved us and not adopted us as sons and daughters, it would have been enough.
If he had adopted us as sons and daughters and had not given us an inheritance,
it would have been enough.
if he had given us an inheritance and not given us the Holy Spirit,
it would have been enough.
If he had filled us with his Spirit, but did not guide our lives as daily as his disciples,
it would have been enough.
If he guided our lives daily as his disciples, but did not lovingly answer our prayers,
it would have been enough. And if he lovingly answered our prayers, but did not bless us in every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, it would have been enough. And so as we clear off the stage a little bit, make a little room for the praise team, I'm going to read two passages for you. So the two passages, one is from Isaiah 42, and if you guys are in the Bible app, you may have seen on Friday that this verse was the verse of the day. And then the other one will be from 1 Thessalonians 5, which I thought both of these are so relevant to today's message. So, but now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear. I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. In 1 Thessalonians, it says this in the Passion. And praise team, you guys are welcome to come join. Let joy be a continual feast. May your life be a prayer, and in the midst of everything, be always giving thanks, for this is God's perfect plan for you in Christ.